Rogers, El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us as we delve into those areas of the spoken word format that other talk shows wish they could delve into, but they can't, so we press forward. You know, we're out on the point, man. We are the guys that are, if you'll pardon the expression, we're riding through Indian country, you know.
We're drawing all the arrows.
We're drawing all the arrows, exactly, Robert. Robert Leonard with me, along with Bud Dickman. Bud, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, and we're going to have another song tonight. Just want to warn you.
Well, I know that we're going to have a campaign song for Herman Cain that was, again, written by Margaret Gray. She was on our program last night, and I think she was not too happy with her appearance. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, when has she ever...
Yeah, she's always bad.
Well, no, she's not always bad, but maybe she is, but last night it was ridiculous because, I tried to make her feel good, but she was singing with Lloyd, that song. What was that song?
Was that Love Boat?
Yeah, from that TV show, The Love Boat.
From The Love Boat, yeah, and I don't understand what that was about, but in any event, she has a Herman Cain song that she is going to be singing tonight, and to tell you the truth, she's on the side of this issue that I would never anticipate her to be on, and that is the Herman Cain's current problems, and these stem from a series of alleged sexual harassment events or incidents that allegedly have been paid off and allegedly were taken care of, and allegedly there was an agreement that I think Harvey Weinman mentioned on the show last night that he felt that Mr. Cain has a grounds to sue these women, you know?
Well, I don't think he can sue them. Because it's the National Restaurant Association.
I understand it's the National Restaurant Association, and that I guess that they're going to check out this gag order or something like that?
Yeah.
So there is a confidentiality agreement, meaning, yes, here is the money, we pay you off, the thing is over, the sexual harassment thing is finished, you don't say anything, here's your money, and now they've turned around and they've said something, and Harvey said that he thought... And Harvey used to work for the ACLU, so it's not like we're talking about a sort of a nonpartisan view of this, of the legality of it. We are going to have Larry Grover and I believe his mother, Monica Grover, is going to join us here in a moment here on the Phil Hendry Show. We want to also make mention of our website, of course, philhendryshow.com, which is where you can get access to all of the archives of this show. You can subscribe to our website and get our podcast of the show each day, and you can watch our live streaming video of the show. It's philhendryshow.com, and we have the largest archive of one single collected radio show ever, and it's good stuff, because our show is good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. You can stop now, bud.
All right.
Our number, 877-876. Phil, let me get on the line here before we get too much further into the Falderall. We have with us Larry Grover from Culver City, California. Larry, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very well, Phil, and thank you for having us on the program. I'm very excited.
And your mom is there, right?
Yeah, Mom.
Hello, Phil.
How are you, dear?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and I also echo what Larry said about having us on your show. We're really excited to be able to weigh in on this.
And I wanted to ask you, Larry, I'll ask your mom, too. Larry, you are the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County.
Correct, yes.
And as such, you are a man who obviously holds to the conservative line. You've never called yourself a Tea Party guy, though.
No, I've never called myself a Tea Party guy, although I've always been an admirer of the Tea Party movement. There's no question I admire what they've been able to accomplish. I think it's been phenomenal. And I was one of those people that predicted they'd fail, so I'm very happy to say that I will very gladly eat my portion of crow on that one, but I still like to consider myself more of a traditional conservative. I'll tell you why. I do believe at the end of the day ideology and party affiliation and party loyalty is important. That's how we build power in this country, and after all, that's what it's about.
All right, let me talk to you now about Herman Cain and what you think is the situation there. What do you think are the man's options? How do you read this? Do you think it is fair? Do you think it is unfair?
Well, I can tell you, Phil, that I think that Cain You know, I don't know why it is Herman Cain or any guy that runs for president of the United States can't hire somebody, if you will, a private investigator.
This is what Larry, excuse me, Phil, Larry was talking about this before we went on the air, and I just...
I know, Mother, but let me say what I want to say, you know, because that's how it works.
Well,
yes, Phil?
I was going to say, yeah, you know.
Thank you, because I don't want you to tell me. I want Mr. Henry to tell me when I'm allowed to say that.
What's that?
I said I want Mr. Henry to tell me.
All right, but do we have to wait for you, Phil?
For what?
To tell my mother to shut up. I don't...
Mr. Henry...
I'm not going to tell her to shut up. You know,
well, I'm trying to say something, Mother, and you're...
Mr. Henry is not going to tell me to shut up, Larry. Mr. Henry is not going to tell me to shut up, Larry. Mr. Henry is going to tell me, you know, whatever you're going to say, Mr. Henry.
All right, well, fine, then why doesn't he say it? Now it's getting on a minute, 60 full seconds, and you haven't told her to...
What do you... All right, let me say this, Mrs. Grover. Larry needs to say what he wants to say.
Thank you.
And then, all right, Larry, and then you will hear from you.
Thank you very much, Phil, and I thank you very much for being a gentleman about it. Because,
Mother, you know, you're always trying to paint me as not a gentleman.
You told me to shut up.
No, I didn't. I said, what is Mr. Henry going to tell you to shut up? All right.
Okay, let's get past that now, and let's continue on. So you were saying that Herman Cain, you don't understand...
Yes, thank you, Phil. I don't understand how it is that a man can run for president of the United States, and he knows he's going to be investigated by the press. You know that you're going to have the press up your you-know-what, excuse my language, morning, noon, and night. They're going to be up there. They're going to camp out up there. They're going to live up there. And the only time they'll leave is to light a cigarette or, you know. And
so, can I just jump in here for a minute?
Oh, my God.
Yes, dear. What do you want?
Does he have to use... that kind of imagery, Larry. I don't think that I think I raised you better than that.
And what imagery?
When you said that they're camping up Herman Cain's ASS.
I didn't say ASS. That's the whole point. I didn't...
All right, you know, hold on for a minute, Larry, will you?
God!
Oh, Larry, stop it.
Hold on for just a minute. Mrs. Grover, you'll have to let Larry just say what he's going to say. And if anything is said that I figure or I think is over the line, I'm very happy to jump in here.
See, Mother? You see?
Oh, why don't you shut up, Larry?
Hold, what, both of you guys, we're not going to be able to have this hour go if you're both going to, pardon me for saying this, if you're both going to be exhibiting this family drama, okay?
No, there is no family drama.
Yeah, no, there is family drama. And this goes back to when I was 8. You want to get into that?
No, I do not want to get into that.
Okay, hold on for just a minute. I don't want this. I want to talk about the issue at hand, which is Mr. Cain's difficulties with his campaign vis-a-vis these women who have accused him of these things. This is coming out, and I want to stay on track. And if Larry wants to use imagery that is less than tactful or tasteful, let's allow him to do that.
Well, that's to say that I am using imagery that is less than tactful or tasteful.
Larry, don't just let it go for a minute.
All right.
That if he's doing that, Mrs. Grover, let me be the one who will say something. You don't have to.
All right, Mom.
I think that it's fair, Phil. I think it's fair. I just wanted to... you know that I'm not used to being on the radio. And,
oh, God, now we got to hear a life story.
And Larry, that was very unfair.
All right, look, you guys are nitpicking way, way, way too much. I'm going to have to conclude this segment if I can't get you guys to get along. Now, I want Larry to continue. Mrs. Grover, we will hear from you after our break. Okay?
Fine. Can I go?
Go ahead.
Herman Cain, I think, makes the same mistake a lot of these guys make who run for president of the United States. I don't know why they make this mistake. They should have an individual in their campaign apparatus, someone who is going to be able to say, wait a second, you have this, and you have this, and you have this. We have to vet. Didn't we already go through these kinds of accusations with other president, with other candidates or other politicians? And we've often said you should have somebody who is vetting you and your background. He didn't do that. And I blame Herman Cain for that. Now, what's unfortunate is... Herman Cain is, I think, a very good candidate. But because of a certain element in our party, I think there's a lot of conservatives that are going to let Herman Cain twist in the breeze. And I will say they're going to do that, Phil, because of his race.
Oh, my God.
I really believe that.
Really?
I honestly believe that the Republican Party and the conservative movement will let Herman Cain go down for the third time. I mean, he is in the middle of Crystal Lake, if you'll pardon the colorful analogy, Phil, but he's in the middle of Crystal Lake, and there's a hand around his throat, and it belongs to a guy, and you've probably heard the name before. He had a misshapen head as a child.
Larry Grover.
Okay, that's it.
What happened?
Give me what happened.
I was making a joke, Phil. I made a little bit of a joke.
No, you ruined everything. You ruined my timing. Larry Grover, huh?
I heard you say that Herman Cain is in the middle of Crystal Lake.
And he had a hand around his throat, and I said the kid who had the hand around Herman, forget it.
And I said it was Larry Grover.
Well, what's the joke?
He meant to say, I guess Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th.
Oh, Crystal Lake.
Yes, Crystal Lake. And I said the kid had a misshapen head, and my own mother said it was Larry Grover.
Oh, Larry, for God's sake. Grow up.
All right, hold on. Are we ever going to get to the point of this hour?
I don't know. That was pretty cold shot, but pretty funny, too. I'm on both sides of the fence on that. It was a cold shot. It was funny as hell.
I thought it was pretty funny, though.
What was funny?
The whole, you know, a kid had a misshapen head, and the mom come on and go, and his name was Larry Grover, you know?
Yeah, they had to redo the movie, make it Larry Grover.
Wait a second. I'm talking about the political future here of Herman Cain, and I'm trying to get some commentary going. I didn't ask you guys what's funny. I didn't ask you what part of it was funny.
I just thought it was funny, that's all.
A kid with a misshapen head. Oh, that's the kid from Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's what everybody's trying to tell you about. Where you been?
Yeah, man.
Well, I didn't make the connection, but now I, yeah, okay. All right, we're going to be back here with Larry Grover, Monica Grover, and Herman Cain and his problems, and like that, our Phil Hendry show is off and running for tonight. He's out in the middle of Crystal Lake, a hand around his neck, and a kid with a misshapen head, Larry Grover. That is funny.
Told you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, Larry.
Mother!
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. His mother, Monica Grover, has joined us as well as we talk about the problem facing Herman Cain. It's a significant problem. It's a significant problem, I think, from the standpoint of the viability of his candidacy. There are many people who will say, "I love Herman Cain as a candidate. I want to vote for him as a candidate." I won't be able to do it now. I won't be able to publicly endorse him because of these things, you know.
That's the problem, Phil. There's a perception, you know, other politicians, other kingmakers out there, especially in the Republican Party and the conservative movement, are going to think twice about endorsing a Herman Cain. Now, the other issue, as I mentioned...
That was the one I thought was interesting. You said that the Republican Party is only too happy to drop Herman Cain.
I think they are. And
you say it's for racial reasons.
I absolutely think they are. I don't think the Republican Party is ready to endorse or to put on the ticket a black candidate that has the credentials of a Herman Cain. He's not a... If you look at Republican candidates over the last however many years, as much as they all like to talk about being on the outside of the Beltway, Republican candidates are more institutional and are far more Washingtonian than a lot of Democratic candidates. So I think that the Cain is a little bit too much of a loose cannon. And now with this, I just think that I think he's going to be dropped like a hot potato by the power brokers, unless he can find a way to dig himself out of this.
We had Harvey Wyman on the show last night, and we had Harvey tell us, because he's an attorney, what are Herman Cain's legal options? He said that Cain could countersue or could institute his own lawsuit that these women had broken a confidentiality agreement. But the fact is, and Monica Grover, I want to ask you now, what from the perception of a woman, how viable is this guy, Herman Cain?
I think that Herman Cain, Larry will remember when he was a little boy. Maybe he doesn't remember. I think that Herman Cain I think he can still mount an effective candidacy because so many of us as women are so used to this kind of thing that we are able to separate out the men from the act. And I know that when Herman Cain, just like Larry's father, when Larry was very young, and
Mother, please.
Larry, don't interrupt. Part of the problem is you guys interrupting each other.
She's going to go into this whole...
You heard what Mr. Henry said. When Larry was very young, his father had a machine shop over here in Westchester, and he had an affair with a young girl who was on the staff over there. I never said anything about it. I had found out about it. I never told Larry's father that I knew, but somehow he did find out. And I suffered through that. And Larry, of course, knew that I knew. And Larry was very stern and would watch the two of us. And I finally had said that, well, perhaps if I went out and I had an affair of my own.
This is what I mean.
You went out and had an affair of your own.
Well, I had an affair with a political idol of Larry's, Blake Fondell, who had been running for the California State Senate, and I decided that I would purposely become involved with him because I wanted Larry's father to know exactly how it hurt. So on one particular night, Larry's father was out with this young lady from the machine shop, and they were over here at Lincoln Bowl, which is on Lincoln Boulevard in Santa Monica. And it just so happened that Blake Fondell and I were in there bowling a game as well. And there were the four of us. And Larry came in with a group of his friends and sat down and began to bowl a game, too. So our entire family was at Lincoln Bowl, me with Blake Fondell, Larry's father with this little... a girl from the office there, and then Larry, and Larry never noticed it. And
I didn't see anything.
I find that to be so difficult to believe. I think Larry has blocked it out, because at one point I wanted him to see it. I said, Larry, look, it's Mother, and I'm with Blake Fondell, your big political idol. Look at Blake Fondell. He's going to take your mother to a motel later, Larry.
Yes, she did, Phil, and she kept saying, Larry, it's your mom. And
I thought you didn't remember.
I didn't remember. This is what she's telling me, she told me. And she says, Larry, it's your mom, and Blake Fondell is going to take me to a motel, and he's going to put a quarter in the bed, if you know what I mean, wink, wink. And I had, to this day, I don't know what she's talking about, because I never saw her, and I never saw my father there. I think what she's trying to do is cause some mental collapse and some sort of a shockwave to go through my brain. And
well, what's the point of all of this?
The point was very simply this, Phil, that women suffer in silence when they know that the men that they admire or that they love are involved with other women. And so I, for my own part, I had gotten involved with Blake Fondell and J.K. Carruthers, who had the Oldsmobile dealership. I got involved with both of those men for a very long time, 10 years, and Larry's father still couldn't figure it out. The men in my life are as stupid as the day is long. I know that.
No, Mother, that's very unfair for you to say that, because your father had a successful business.
Father had a successful business. He was an imbecile, as you are too, Larry.
And all right, but so they're idiots. So what?
Well, so they're idiots. So women do not trust an idiot like this, and they're not people that you are going to vote for, and they're not people you're going to support. The biggest mistake that Mr. Cain has made, Bill, is that he has done what he has done, and it has been seen by the American women, not American men. And American women now know Herman Cain as not very intelligent and a man who will get involved with a woman, even if it means that he's going to be president.
And the other thing about Mother, Phil, is...
I don't need you to comment on what I'm saying.
All right, so you have said, when you found out that Larry's father was having an affair, you went out and got involved with this guy that was running for state senate?
That's correct, Blake Fondell.
Blake Fondell. And who's J.K. Carruthers?
J.K. Carruthers' Oldsmobile. He had it over here in Santa Monica for years. You never heard of him?
I never heard of J.K. Carruthers' Oldsmobile.
Oh, it was a very big dealership, yeah.
So you went out and you had sex with both of these men, and you even tried to get your son to know that you were having sex with them.
That's correct, and Larry claims he never remembers seeing us there at Lincoln Bowl.
And you guys were all in a bowling alley together.
Hey, Mother, you see? We came on to talk serious, and because of you, Mr. Henry is laughing like it's a clown act, like he's at the circus and he's watching a bucket of clowns. And
a bucket of clowns.
I didn't mean to say bucket of clowns. I meant a bunch of clowns coming out of a bucket.
What are you? God, what are you talking about, Larry?
You mean a bunch of clowns coming out of a car?
Yeah, that's it. A bunch of clowns coming. Oh, God.
All right, hold on.
But, Phil, do you understand?
No, but I don't need to see what this has to do with Herman Cain. Larry's father had an affair with a girl in the machine shop, so I went to bed with Blake Fondell and J.K. Carruthers, and we all met up at Lincoln Bowl. And Larry blacked the whole thing out. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
I didn't say Blake blacked it out. He's a liar.
Phil Henry. Show.
877-877-6-PHIL, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And on the line with me is Larry Grover, along with his mother, Monica Grover. Larry is the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. And Mrs. Grover is also joining us because we did want to get a, you know, female perspective on this. And the two of you have been sniping, which I don't understand.
Phil, I just want to say, I love my mother very much, but I don't know what my life mother...
I was talking about your father having the affair.
I know. I don't understand why my father and his personal life has to come into the program. I don't think it matters what we're talking about, Phil. Yes, Herman Cain did. It would appear Herman Cain was involved in some kind of inappropriate behavior that he did address and that was apparently dealt with. Now, is he a viable candidate for president of the United States? The answer has got to be no, because he's going to get people... he's going to get dropped by the Republican Party.
I think the most significant thing you've said here is that Herman Cain will be dropped by the Republican Party. They'll use this as an excuse, but they never did want to have a black candidate.
That's exactly what I think.
Larry, I think, Phil, Larry's missing a part of the point here. I don't think that race has anything to do with this. I think what you brought up in your program yesterday that I thought was very clear and was very... I think it was something that was... needed to be said. Who are the women that Mr. Cain was alleged to have sexually harassed? And was he involved with them in any way that was much, much more significant? If one of the women, for instance, and I'm not saying that it was, but let's say it was the wife of Cindy McCain, the wife of John McCain. John McCain, obviously, is going to have a problem on two levels, because his wife had an affair, and because it was with a black man, and obviously John McCain can't forgive that. And
what are you talking about, Mother?
We're not going to get back into that, okay?
That was one point. The other side of the... That was one point.
What are you talking about? Mr. Henry's not bringing that up at all. You're bringing that up.
That was one point, one side of the point. The other point is that Herman Cain has, as Larry said, he is going to have an issue with a lot of these men in the Republican Party who didn't want to support a black candidate either. But I think that the bigger question here is that the women themselves have come out and have made mention of this, and that's how we are. And I think that men don't recognize that. If this was a woman who was going to be running for president of the United States, we'd be very, very confident that a man wouldn't say anything. And
why do you think a man wouldn't say anything?
Well, because I don't think that men are like that. I think men are... Men, you can control a little bit more. You can tell them, no, you better not say anything. Otherwise, you're not going to get any more of this sweet thing. You know what I mean.
And you see how my mother talks, this sweet thing.
Wait. You're saying that if a woman was running for president of the United States... And she had an affair with a man somewhere in her past, a man that was not her husband.
That's correct, yes.
That man would be far more likely to keep his mouth shut than a woman.
That is absolutely the case, yes.
Why is that the case?
Well, because, as I said, women are far more prone to go public with these things, because women more readily see an advantage to something like this. Men will not go public with this kind of thing because they're much more easily intimidated by a woman. And I also think it's...
Maybe it's because the men have more class.
Well, Larry, you're interrupting me again, okay? I think it's because the men are easily intimidated and won't say anything. I remember when Blake Fondell said that he might have to go public with his affair with me because he knew that my husband at that time was a very powerful businessman. And I had told him, I said, I'd like to take you into the garage and show you something. And I just showed him some of the new gardening implements that we'd purchased. And I showed him one that could pull weeds out of the ground. I showed him another one that was a bolt cutter. And I said, don't you like these? And he said, yes, what's the point? And I just winked. And that's all I had to do.
She threatened Blake Fondell, Phil, by showing him I guess it was some kind of a bolt cutter.
You threatened the man.
No, I did not. All I did was I showed him some new gardening implements.
Well, there's a reason why you went into the garage and showed this guy gardening implements. And isn't it so you were threatening him?
I was trying to keep it in line, exactly.
And it's very curious that a guy that's running for state senator, I don't know why we're talking about this stuff, but it's interesting, why a guy running for state senator of the state of California is going to be intimidated by some dude that owns a machine shop.
Well, my father was very connected, Mr. And you have to understand that my father, even though he owned three shops, and he had a great deal of political pull on the west side of Los Angeles. And this guy, Blake Fondell, and J.K. Carruthers, and a number of other up-and-comers in the Los Angeles political scene, they wanted to get money together so they could make a serious run. Blake Fondell never did recover. And let's be honest, Bob, Blake Fondell never did recover from taking my mother to bed.
How dare you say something like that?
Well, it's true. It's true. Going to bed with my mother is like is almost like having your knee ligaments torn in football.
Give me the phone.
No, I won't give you the phone.
Whoa, hold on.
Mr. Hogg's going to call up in a minute.
Give me the phone.
Okay, you see something like that?
I said it, didn't I? Going to bed with my mother, you might as well have a concussion.
You know something, Larry? I think it's very... Your father was... If you were alive today, your father would shoot you. He'd get his gun.
Okay, God, I can't believe... You know, first of all, I will say this, that I agree with Larry, Mrs. Grover. You talking about this kind of thing, I think, is extremely... I don't think it's in good taste, okay? I don't think it is...
Thank you very much, Phil. Finally, somebody said something, you know?
No, I don't think it's in good taste that you bring up the proclivities, the affairs, all of the nonsense from your own life and your own marriage. David G. Hall is joining us. Yeah, David, what?
Well, what I didn't mean to go on the air. Good evening, Mrs. Grover. How are you?
Mr. Hall, how are you doing? I'm very fine, thank you.
And Larry Grover's here too, David. Yeah, I don't really care. What does that mean, you don't care? I want to talk to Phil Hendry, that's why. Wait a minute. My mother is here and Larry Grover is here. Okay, hi, Larry.
Hi. Jesus.
Larry, he just doesn't care. You're not pivotal, Larry. He doesn't have to be nice to you.
What does that mean, he doesn't have to be? Look, would you just allow... What are you doing, Phil? What segment? What is this segment called?
What do you mean, what's the segment called?
Well, what is this?
It's about Herman Cain.
Herman Cain? All I've been hearing about is Blake Fondell and how going to bed with him is the equivalent of getting your knee ligaments torn in football. You know what I've been hearing?
Well, that's... No,
If I could... No, going to bed with me, not him.
Yeah, that's what I said, and I'm the one that said it. This guy Grover said that?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell Grover... Wait a minute, why don't you talk to me? I don't want to talk to you, Grover, okay? Why don't you tell him...
Wait a minute, why don't you want to talk to Larry Grover?
I don't want to talk to a guy that messed up the wedding invitations for my cousin's wedding. I took him over to Culver Print. You said I'd get a deal, Grover. And you butchered the job. You had everybody going somewhere in Hollenbeck. You butchered it. Aren't you the guy... Can I ask you, are you Mexican? No, I'm not! Holy God.
Oh, Larry, you didn't. Larry, did you send people over to the Boyle Heights?
I apologize. I did wedding invitations, right, for my cousin's wedding, and he had the address in Boyle Heights. So I got, I don't know how many white people, and they're, you know, I don't mean white people, but, you know, Mexicans are white too. But anyway, I got all of these people from the Valley, and they're going down to Boyle Heights for a wedding.
Well?
Yeah, well. So I'm calling, and I didn't even call up to talk to you about that. I called up to ask Mr. Hendry if he's going to do a talk show topic tonight and not talk about Mrs. Grover going to bed with Blake Fondell. And I've never heard of him. Never.
Hold on, Phil. I want to say something to you, Mr. Hall. That is very unfortunate because Blake Fondell is very well known.
And I've never heard of Blake Fondell. Have you heard of Blake Fondell?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
You guys have never heard of Blake Fondell?
I don't believe Blake Fondell and J.K. Carruthers.
Look, I don't know who this cat is. I don't know who any of these guys are. What is that noise?
I'm standing out here trying to get a car alarm shut off. That's my car. You hear it? I'm down here at a phone booth because my cell phone's locked in my car. I tried to get into my own car. The car alarm's going off. Now I got to go down, and I got to try to get a locksmith, and the cops, if the cops show up, they're going to think I stole a car.
And you want to know why? Because I've got 150 invitations in the back seat of that car that are directing people to a location in Boyle Heights. I will get arrested. They'll think I'm a gangbanger.
And that's an asinine comment. And, Larry, how is it that you got the... I don't even want to know.
Well, you see, it all started when I...
I don't want to know, okay? I don't want to know.
Larry probably took the wrong address down because Larry's dyslexic. He's not dyslexic with language, though. He's dyslexic with skin tone.
And yeah, a lot of people who are, you know, that means dyslexic with skin tone. A lot of people that are very brown or tan appear to be...
Well, go ahead and say it.
Well, all right. A lot of them appear to be Swedish or blonde. And I found out that it... What is that? You mind?
Larry is dyslexic when it comes to skin tone and ethnicity. If he sees someone who is Native American, Pacific Asian, or a Native American, or even Hispanic, they look Swedish. Isn't that right?
Sometimes they look like they're Mongolian. I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
You know what? I think you're making that up.
No, I was with Larry when he went to the doctor to have that looked at. Right, Larry?
That's right. Dr. Pettigrew. He's got a son named Cliff.
Cliff Pettigrew? Okay.
I don't want to talk about this. I want to get away from you and your radio show as fast as I can. I got to get back to my car because you can hear the noise that it's making. But I am telling you, you have been talking about wanting to talk about Herman Cain. You haven't done that. I've been hearing about Mrs. Grover sleeping with guys out in Westchester. So, you know, my mother you're talking about, sir. I didn't... Sir, did somebody make a noise? Was that a human voice?
Yes, it's me.
It sounded like the guy that messed up my cousin's wedding invitations.
All right. You know what? Take care of that car alarm, man, because that is a nerve-wracking sounding thing.
I'm going to tell you something. This guy comes in. He says he's got wedding invitations. I said, fine. He said, it's my cousin's wedding. I got them mixed up with this guy that looked like a Swede. And it turned out this was a gentleman who was he went to church. He was a Roman Catholic priest from Boyle Heights, but he looked Swedish because I have the dyslexia.
It's very rare, Phil, but it is common. It's common, I have to say it, Larry. It's common among people of not very high intellect. And
it's the dyslexia of skin tone? I've never heard of anything like that.
It's common of people not who are not bright, Mother. It's common of a lot of people who are most likely sexually manipulated by their mothers. That's what I think.
You know what? Turn them off. Cut the line off, will you? Bud, don't ask me what.
I don't know what you mean.
You don't have to know why I'm asking you to cut somebody off, Bud. Just do it. You understand?
Yeah, I know, but... At least you can give me a reason.
I'm not giving you any reason. When I tell you to cut somebody off, cut them off. Give you a reason.
I'm not going to give you a reason, man. You're supposed to do what he told you to do.
I did.
Yeah, after about 5 seconds. Okay, so thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. I shouldn't say that, Mr. and Mrs., because now they're going to think there's something really weird going on. And that will validate some other fears they have. Mrs. Grover and her son, Larry... And we find out tonight that Larry has a certain skin tone dyslexia. People that are Hispanic look Swedish.
That's not funny, man. I would hate to have a thing like that.
Yeah, man. You know what? If I had that, you'd probably look black.
Yeah, if I had that,
I'd probably look Swedish.
That's right, buddy. He's got you on that one. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Herman Cain. And what the lawyer says, I could read some of that story to you. We also have a very bizarre story. The former caddy for Tiger Williams has made some racial inferences, a racial insult of Tiger Williams. What the hell is wrong with people? We're going to find out here tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This radio show is not really a talk show. This is a radio show that shows you what talk radio is. How about that? Something like that. I don't know.
Don't try and explain. Just do it.
Yeah.
You're right. We shouldn't try and explain it. We should just do it. All right. The NBA, we've got a couple of sports stories for you here this evening, and one of them has to do with, I said Tiger Williams, I'm sorry, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Because the caddy's name is Williams. And the caddy, this guy Williams, said some, he made a comment that was, he's trying to pass it off as a joke. You can't pass it off as a joke. And look, I don't care what a guy says. I could care less. You know, I don't care if he has a job, if he doesn't have a job. It's not a big thing. Just like for me, it wasn't a big thing that Tiger Williams was out having sex with every Playboy bunny on the planet Earth. I could care less about it. I watch the guy play golf. It's disappointing to me, but look, I don't have to go to church with the guy. I don't have to sit down and have dinner with him. I don't have to know him. I don't have to hang out with him. But I like watching the guy play golf. Is he a douchebag? Yeah. There's a lot of guys in sports that I don't personally like because of what I've heard, and I could be wrong about them. But it's part of the fun. Then I get to know them, and I find out, hey, they're great guys. You know, the opposite can happen, folks. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here, and that way you will know what I mean. I was doing a sports show many, many years ago for a national syndicator called Westwood One. And I had sent a producer out to interview Carl Yastrzemski. Now, some of you may know the name Carl Yastrzemski. Carl Yastrzemski's name is as significant in the history of the Boston Red Sox as Ted Williams. Many people know the name, in fact, Carl Yastrzemski, more than they know the name Ted Williams. It's a generational thing. That's what baseball is. Carl Yastrzemski was a Triple Crown winner. He was the man. They called him Yaz. He had the big bat. He was great in the field. He was a bad man. He was the big boy. You know, Carl Yaz Yastrzemski. I admired him, as did every kid that came up enjoying baseball. My generation, we watched Roberto Clemente. We watched Carl Yastrzemski. We watched Sandy Koufax. These are the guys that we liked, you know, and on into the 70s with the Dodgers of the 70s, with the Cincinnati Reds, Big Red Machine, and the Yankees. My guy comes back. He says, I'll never talk to that son of a bitch again as long as I live. I don't care, Phil, if you fire me. I said, what happened? He said, I walked into the dugout. And I happen to know the guy that did the interview, a very, very sweet guy by the name of Steve Downs. I worked with Steve for many years in rock and roll radio. He went to Chicago. He's about as nice a guy as you ever. I never saw the guy lose his temper, ever. And just a very sweet, professional, 100% professional guy. I said, what happened? He said, I walked into the dugout because the Red Sox were in town playing the Angels. And I had my tape recorder, and the first thing out of this scumbag's mouth is, get that camera out of here. Didn't introduce himself. He said, Mr. Yastrzemski, my name's Steve Downs. I'm with Westwood One. I'm here for the sports show, The Competitors. I was going to meet you. This is not a camera. It's a recorder. I don't care. Get it out of here. Now, there's an old saying, first impressions, right? And there are a million people that would make excuses for Carl Yastrzemski. Well, are there a million people that'll make excuses for you if you're in a bad mood on a certain day, if you treat somebody poorly? Are there a million people out there that will tell the world what a great guy you really are? No. You don't have that luxury. I don't have that luxury. And maybe the guy is a great guy. But when you treat a total stranger who is simply there to get your story, a few brief comments, we're excited to talk to Carl Yastrzemski. We wanted to do a three-minute sports feature on Carl Yastrzemski, his career, and the first words out of his mouth to a young man, and at the time we were all, you know, I say kids, we were in our late 20s, and he says, get that camera out of here, I don't care what it is, and you get out of here. This was the first and the last time that this slob ever talked to Steve Downs. Steve said to me, don't you ever send me out there to talk to that guy. In fact, I don't even want to talk to baseball players. I don't think he said that, but. So, you know, whether or not we think Tiger Williams is a douchebag, or Tiger Woods, I should say, is a douchebag, but these other guys are just wonderful. Just keep in mind, you know, we don't know anything about anybody until we meet them. And even then, we really don't know a whole lot about them. And that's why people often say first impressions count, because you don't know if you'll get another chance to impress that person. So Tiger Williams is caught by his wife, and the whole sporting world is disappointing, and they're wagging their finger, and they're clucking their tongues. Then they turn around and they'll talk about some of the great stars of the past, and they may mention Carl Yastrzemski. Well, I just got done telling you. And that didn't make the news. And that isn't cheating on his wife. And that isn't drug dealing. And that's nothing of that nature. But it is a one-on-one contact with a guy who is simply trying to do his job. The first time you ever meet this guy. If he had it to do over again, maybe Yastrzemski would have said, I'm sorry. If he had it to do over again, maybe he wouldn't. Maybe that's the kind of jackass he is. Maybe that's what Yaz is all about. So I don't care. If I start caring about who these guys are as opposed to what it is they do, unless they have a really important job, then I would never follow sports at all. Now, they don't have an important job. They are entertainers. They go out and they entertain.
What do you mean they're entertainers? They're not, like, dancing or nothing.
You don't have to dance to be an entertainer. Baseball is an entertainment. Football is an entertainment. Football and baseball hold the similar significance to the culture as a juggling clown does. Okay? It's if they had a really important gig like, oh, I don't know, president, I might care, man, but I don't. We'll be back with more here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, Tiger Woods, not Williams. Tiger Williams played hockey.
Yeah, Tiger Williams could bite a wall.
Yes, he could bite a wall. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
Wait a minute, say that again.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Tom Steelworth will join us. Tom is one of our many contributors when it comes to sports, and we do have a sports story we want to look at. There's actually a couple of sports stories that are significant. They grab my interest. I hope they grab yours. One is this caddy for Tiger Williams. Tiger, if I say that one more time.
Guy's name is Tiger Woods, man. Can't you figure it out or something?
You get it, man.
I'm sorry. Tiger Williams is a hockey player, and Tiger Woods is
but Tiger Woods don't play hockey.
I know he doesn't play hockey. Tiger Woods is the golfer, and I don't know why I'm...
Maybe it's because they like both swing like a club.
Maybe, yeah.
That's the nuttiest thing I ever... What do you mean swing on a club? Not even the same thing.
You're right, it's not the same thing, unless you're Billy Madison, you know.
What?
Oh, yeah, that was a pretty good show. Billy Madison, he played hockey, then a good a golfer.
What are you talking about? Billy Madison doesn't even exist. It's all a figment of the imaginations. The guy that you're talking about here, Tiger Woods, never played hockey, never will either, because he's black. You're not, well, I guess you are allowed, but they don't,
what do you mean you're not allowed? Now you sound like an idiot.
Well, I'm just saying.
You ain't saying nothing. You're right. I blew it. It's not Tiger Williams. It's Tiger Woods. Although Billy Madison did play hockey and then...
Yeah, but he's not a real guy.
You know Billy Madison. I'm not saying he's a real guy, but it could be a guy like that.
Yeah, sure. And you could be Swedish.
I am if Larry Grover here, because he's dyslexia.
You're nuts.
All right. Neither buddy is Swedish, okay?
Way to butcher the grammar.
Okay. Neither, buddy. All right, so one of the stories is about Tiger Woods, and the other story is the resumption, or will there be a resumption, of the NBA season, because it ain't looking good. And again, you have to separate the people and the quality of the people from your enjoyment of the sport. I like basketball. I like professional basketball. I love to watch it. I happen to have in my hometown a team that's pretty good. You know, occasionally they're pretty good, the Lakers. So I got into basketball because there's nothing like getting you into a sport if you've got a hometown team that's good at it, right? I mean, I imagine if the Lakers sucked, then I probably wouldn't care about basketball. That's just kind of the kind of guy I am. But this story here, there may not be a basketball season the way things are going. One of the owners described the talks as headed straight for disaster. And that makes me feel bad, not good, you know, because I may not like the owners, I may not like some of the players, I may think they're all a bunch of douchebags and should all just ride off to hell in the same handcart, but when it comes to the game, I like watching the damn game, and I want to see it, and I don't want there to be a strike that's going to wipe the any more of the season out than it's already been wiped out. All right, having said all of that, on the line with us from Santa Monica, we have Margaret Gray, because we did want to get that. Now, is that David Hull's? You better get him to hang that up.
Yeah.
Because that's his car. His car is still going up. Got Margaret Gray on the line in Santa Monica tonight. In pursuant to the Herman Cain campaign, Margaret, I know you have a slightly different opinion, and I know as a woman it's an unusual opinion. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you for having me back on your program, and thank you very much for just many, many years of our professional association. I've had a wonderful time with it, and I did have today a wonderful conversation with a number of supporters of Herman Cain. I am not a supporter of his, but I do not find fault with the man. I think that a lot of men, Phil, are taken to task far too often for just being men. I understand men because I'm a woman who obviously had been married for many years, and I have a son, and I like men. I don't look for men to make mistakes. I'm not looking for men to disappoint me. I think a lot of women go through life looking for men to foul up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So that's not what I do. That's not what Margaret Gray does. I don't do that. I don't go there. I don't play that. All right? What I do is I take people on a case-by-case basis. I'm married to a wonderful man, Frank Gray. Frank has his problems, like we all do, but he's provided us with a very good living. He's a good father, and I love him very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to sing a song, Phil, because as I heard of the problems that Herman Cain was having, I sat down at the piano last night, and Frank doesn't like it when I do this, but I was just tinkling out some things.
Tinkling out, I'll bet.
I'll grow up, Frank.
I get it.
Yeah, but I was hitting the ivories last night, and I was thinking, Herman Cain. Oh, yeah, I thought of Herman's Hermit. And then I thought of this. Now, I don't have the piano with me here. Frank, you're going to do the second chorus. I'll do the first. You do the second chorus. You come in on 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. You got it?
I got it.
All right, so this is the song, Phil, that we've written for Herman Cain. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Phil, hold on, Phil. Would you put your drink down, Frank?
Oh, you want me now?
Yes, I'm going to sing the song now.
She's singing it now, Frank.
He can't hear you, Phil. He doesn't have a song. All right, put the drink down.
I can sing with the drink, but listen, I've lived my whole life. No one tells me to put a drink down.
All right, Frank. Right. Here we go. 1, 2, and 1, 2, 3. Woke up this morning feeling fine. That's right. There's something special on my mind.
Last night I woke up with something in my slacks.
God, I hate you.
Oh, I'm having a good time.
Wait a minute. I don't get it.
Hold on. Are you going to grow up?
Yes.
Okay, you know, we don't have a lot of time here.
I was just having some fun.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Woke up this morning feeling fine.
I looked down and saw something in my pants.
You know something?
Well, obviously you guys are not ready to go, huh?
You know, I listened last hour to that woman and her son, and I heard the problem that she was giving her son, and I thought, my God, can you imagine people with so little discipline? Little did I know that within minutes I was going to be on your program acting like the same kind of ass.
That's real nice language.
Well, Frank, wear it. It fits.
All right, come on. What's the name of the song?
What's the name of the song? I'm Into Something Good.
Oh, that's right. It's Herman's Hermits.
Herman's Hermits. All right. What, if you say something about your pants?
I'm having a cocktail.
Well, maybe that's the problem, Frank.
All right, this show gets bogged down in these side conversations. You have a song you want to sing for Herman Cain. I get it. It's a Herman's Hermits song. It's very cute. Okay.
Well, don't belch your weight.
Yeah, I heard that, Bill. You're like, you got a song for Herb, Herman Cain, Herb.
You're belching your way through your comments to me, Phil. I don't think that's respectful.
I apologize. I wasn't belching. I was simply, you know.
No, you were simply belching. All right, here we go. 1, 2, and 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3. Woke up this morning feeling fine. There's something special
in my slacks.
All right, Phil, we're going to have to call you back.
Yeah, you do. You call me back, okay?
something special in slats, all right. He probably got a joy buzzer.
I probably play his pocket pool.
Well, whatever the problem is, they obviously, he's drunk. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's his excuse. What was wrong with a lady last hour?
That family, that Grover family, is just mentally, you know, they're not going too good. But obviously he's drunk, and the song is I'm Into Something Good. Is that the song? Well, you guys don't know. You're too young. All right, anyway, welcome back. So what we're going to do is talk about Tiger Woods, and this is a comment that I think is unfortunate, but be that as it may, if this cat's a good caddy, I'd hire his ass, you know? So we're going to get on the line here, Pastor William Renick, and I don't really know if we have enough time before we go to the break. We'll get Pastor William Renick here on the phone, though, and what we will try to do is just get some preliminary comments from him about this. Pastor Renick, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and thank you very much.
Hey, Pastor Renick, and
this about the Tiger Woods case. I had read the story this morning, and I know what you're talking about. And by the way, I thought that was a very nice song. I'm Into Something Good. I think that man, Frank, is a very funny man, you know?
Well, you should call him up and tell him that.
Well, I think that lady was taking that too serious. You know, we all need to laugh. And
well, it's kind of cute, you know.
I woke up this morning feeling fine. There's something special in my pants. I thought that was very, very funny. And you know something, Phil? I'm a Christian preacher. And some people might think, well, that is inappropriate of me to say that. You know, to have to find humor in something like that.
Right.
That is not what God intended. That is not what God wants. God wants us to laugh at life. God wants us, you know, there is a philosopher by the name of Voltaire. Voltaire was part of the French Age of Enlightenment. And Voltaire said that God is a comedian playing to an audience that's afraid to laugh.
And I didn't know that you read Voltaire.
I did not read Voltaire. That was something that George Burns said in Oh God. If you saw, did you see Oh God?
And I saw, yes, I saw Oh God.
That was what George Burns said that Voltaire said. I'd love to be able to say I read Voltaire, but I don't read Voltaire. I don't have time to read Voltaire. I read the Bible. And that is my book. What happened here with Tiger Woods, you got me saying.
You think Tiger Williams, too. Maybe you like hockey better.
Who's that? Is that Bud Dickman?
Yes, it is. It's Bud Dickman.
But, let me tell you something, man. Keep your peace, and I'll talk to you in a minute, okay?
I'm just saying call him Tiger Williams.
I know I called him Tiger Williams. I apologize for calling him Tiger Williams. I will not call him Tiger Williams again. All right, now, Phil.
All right, hold on. We're going to take a break here. Pastor William Renick, okay, sir?
Yeah, very good.
Pastor William Renick with us to talk with us about Tiger Woods. And his caddy, who's named Williams. And that's how we're getting Steve Williams. And what was said and what wasn't said, and we'll get into it with Pastor William Renick when we come back. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we're into a story here with Pastor William Renick in Bellflower. Pastor Renick is with Joyful Union Congregation, and this is the story of Steve Williams, the caddy of Tiger Williams. Tiger Woods! Sorry, God.
God, man! I'm gonna pull a plug on you. You're out there, everything like that, too.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. I want to see some. Dickman! Dickman!
Yeah?
This is Pastor Renick. Why don't you just take it easy? Mr. Henry is doing the very best he can.
Yeah, but that's about the 54th time that he's done it.
What do you mean the 55th or 54th time?
Never mind what Mr. Henry's done. You work for Mr. Henry, not the other way around, you know. You work for Mr. Henry. Now, Mr. Henry wants to, you know, he is getting familiar with the story. I think we constantly criticize each other. That's not good. You understand?
Look, this ain't Sunday. I don't need a sermon, okay?
Well, you know, if you were in front of me right now, I'd have no choice but to take you down. I'd have no choice but to take you down.
This ain't Sunday. I don't need a sermon.
Hey, man, what you watching, man? You're talking to a man of God and all that.
Yeah.
Shut up, bud. You're being disrespectful. You understand?
This ain't Sunday. I don't need a... Ow.
This ain't Sunday.
That's all right, Bill. I understand. He's a... what we call is, you know what God called these people? Douchebags. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something, Pastor. As I've said before, we got a lot of people that call the show after you've been on to say, that guy's really got a foul mouth on him for a pastor.
Well, and I'll say it to you again, as I've said to you before. I'll say it to you again. I glory in God. I glory in God. And I glory in the name of God. I don't worry about what other people say about me. I care about what our Lord and Master Jesus Christ thinks of me. And I'm trying to do the very best I can. Now, let's talk. You brought me on the show to talk about this story.
Right. This is the Tiger Woods story. Let me read a little bit of this. And just bear with me here for just a moment, Pastor, because I want to read a bit of the story to you.
What are you looking for?
Bud, you don't have to yell everything, okay?
Okay, Bud, we can find out.
What?
Better day.
What is he saying, man?
Bud, I don't know if you can find your glasses.
I got my glasses. They're right here.
Bud!
Shut up, man. God.
Are you hard of hearing, boy?
What do you mean?
Are you hard of hearing?
I'm not hard of hearing, and just want to make sure Mr. Henry know.
But you sound like, you know something, if I didn't know who you were, and if I didn't know this so-called, you know, comedy show or however, you sound almost like you've got some distant relationship to a, you know, the lady that we're called a Keller.
Talk about Helen Keller.
Hey, okay. Pardon me for one moment.
Everything that I've been hearing about...
Shut up, bud.
Otherwise, you're going to kick my ass?
Yes, otherwise I'm going to kick your ass. Exactly, very good. Jeez, you got that right away, didn't you?
Well, I'm sometimes I'm good.
Yeah, you're pretty good. Sorry, Pastor Renick, had to put you on hold there. I just,
I understand.
Tiger Woods, former caddy, caused another sensation, this time by using a racial slur to disparage his old boss during a caddy awards roast in Shanghai. Steve Williams received a mock award Friday night for celebration of the year for his TV interview after Adam Scott won the Bridgestone Invitational. That was the day Williams said it was, quote, the best win of his life, despite being on the bag with Woods for 13 years. At an awards party filled with banter, Williams said of his interview, it was my aim to shove it right back up that black blank hole. The line drew the biggest reaction at a party attended by several players, caddies, officials, and some media. There was a mixture of laughter and shock, with some players turning to each other with eyes widened and jaws agape. The provision of the party is that all comments are off the record, yet several caddies couldn't stop talking about it long after it was over. Approached early the next morning at breakfast, Williams was stunned to learn that British tabloids had gone with the story. Why would they do that, he said. The whole thing was meant to be fun. Hours later, Williams posted a comment on his website. He says, I apologize for comments I made last night at the annual Caddy Awards dinner in Shanghai. This was in Shanghai, China, I guess. Players and caddies look forward to this evening all year, and the spirit is always joking and having fun. I now realize how my comments could be construed as racist. However, I assure you, that was not my intent. I sincerely apologize to Tiger and anyone else that I offended. So, Pastor, what is your take?
Well, you know something, here is my take. You know, that was not supposed to be reported in the press. That was supposed to be off the record. That was a private party, and that was individual that was having fun. And
do you think it was racist?
I don't think it was racist. I don't think it was inappropriate. Look, people are going to say, and I know that Tiger Woods took that to be racist. I think that he probably took it to mean that Mr. Williams doesn't like him as a human being. He's not friends with him anymore. And maybe that, I don't know. But I've been at many, many different functions. And I've been at functions with white people. I've been at functions with Hispanic people. I've been at functions with Pacific, Asian Pacific people, Polynesian people. I've been at you understand what I'm saying? So I've been to a lot of...
You've been around a lot of different people.
I've been around a lot of different people, exactly. And we have had a lot of good times and banter and so forth. I've called them all kinds of names. They call me all kinds of names. And we say this when there's nobody around that is going to report it in the media. Now, I'm not as famous as Tiger Woods. I'm not even as famous as Mr. Williams. But I do know that when we get together, especially in our pastoral meeting, or we have a convention, we had a Pentecostal convention of the different denominations, we're going to get together, we're going to say some things that are going to be misunderstood.
And now, I don't imagine people would expect that, though, at a religious convocation.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, that certainly we're respectful of people, and we don't We never, ever disrespect God. We don't respect the Word. We do not disrespect the Bible. And we do not disrespect or mock Jesus Christ or God, God the Father. But we do loosen up, and we do, you know, we used to say back in the day, we used to loosen our girdle a little bit, you know, and have some fun. And I've been around all kinds of people. I've said all kinds of things about all kinds of people. And
well, this guy said, I'm going to shove that right back up his black, you know, blank hole. And maybe it's not racist, but it certainly is an extremely offensive thing to say about a former employer and friend I don't know, public personalities being what they are, right?
Well, no, you know, public personality. When he said, I'm going to shove it right back up that black, that's just him having fun. I remember I was at we were at a religious a prayer breakfast for one of our deacons that had died. He passed on. And I had all kinds. We had Chinese, we had African, we had Middle Eastern, all kinds of people. And I was making all kinds of camel jokes. You know, what do you call camel jockey joke? You know that. And
all right, well, I don't want to hear the jokes, okay?
No, I'm not going to tell you the joke, but I was having a ball, and I was, and nobody, I'm telling you, everybody left the meeting and left the prayer breakfast. We were good friends, and I was saying blankety blank. And all those jokes about why the Chinese can't fly airplanes, I used to do those. And
so you were engaged in full-on racist jokes? I don't see how that's appropriate at all.
It was not, Phil. It was not intended. No, they're not racist. They're not racist. Phil, when you act in love, when you act in faith and in love, love is all that you're going to communicate. I was acting in love. You understand what I'm saying?
All right. I sort of do. We're going to be back here with Pastor William Renick in a moment as we talk about Tiger Williams. Tiger Woods. That does it. I quit. Good. Tiger Woods and his caddy, Steve Williams, The Phil Henry Show.
Now you're starting to piss me off.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and let's get the Phil TV in HD cranking. There it is. And we are on the line with Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation. We are going to have, we're going to bring on Reverend Olindo from the Pentecostal Chapel in Mexico City to join us, Pastor Renick, because I know that you know him.
I know him very well. As a matter of fact, we were guests of his family. He and his wife, we were down there for the Latin American convocation. And so I know him very well, yes.
All right. Well, we're going to have him on here in a moment to talk a little bit about this idea of racial insensitivity as we continue with the story of Tiger Woods and his caddy, Steve Williams. Now, Steve Williams may have a problem with Tiger Woods. I can understand that these are things we don't know much about, you know.
Well, Phil, I think you hit it right on the head. We don't know the working relationship of this man with Tiger Woods. We don't know what happened or how it happened or why it happened. You know, why, for instance, I don't know, and I don't need to know why these two men split up professionally, you know.
Right.
All I know, and I feel the very same way that you do, I just want to see this man play the game of golf because it's an enjoyable thing to watch when Tiger Woods plays the game of golf.
All right, I'm going to get on the line here. This is Reverend Olindo from... is it Oscar, correct, sir?
Oscar Olindo, yeah.
And Reverend Olindo, you know Pastor Renick?
How are you, William? It's been a long time to see you.
I'm very, very grateful you're on the program tonight. I love very much your church and your family. And thank you for hosting us last Christmas. I enjoyed that very, very much. It's not a pleasure to them.
Now, Reverend, you met Pastor Renick, and you had some experiences with him that you'd like to share.
William, you know that I love you.
I love you too.
And when I pick you up from the airport, you know that you met this Taco Bell. You know, where's Taco Bell?
Yes, I did. I said, where's the Taco Bell? Yeah.
And you said that a lot, you know.
But I didn't mean any offense by that.
I know that you did not mean, but you said that a lot. And I brought you to my home. and my wife had cooked all day to make a meal.
My wife, I can tell you that my wife, Clara, enjoyed it very much. I did too.
I appreciate that. But you said, when you sat down, you said, did you send out to Taco Bell?
Yeah, I did. I was making a joke. Maybe I made it too many times.
Too many times? That was the at least 100 times you said, Taco Bell, Taco Bell. Then you come to my home and send my wife Taco Bell, you know.
Clara,
I want to say I understand what you're saying, Reverend. This is Clara Bingham, Pastor Renick's wife. Yes, I'm so happy to meet you. Thank you very much. And I know what you're saying. I told Pastor Renick to stop.
Whoa, hold on.
I told the pastor to stop. He would not stop. It was embarrassing to me, too, to hear him talk at Taco Bell and all this. Well, all you do is said, did you send out for the Taco Bell, you know?
I said, did you send out for Taco Bell? That's the last time I said Taco Bell.
Then you said Del Taco, and then you said...
Well, yeah, wait, so what are we talking about here? Pastor Renick offended you?
Pastor Renick did not offend me, but he was used as a joke, you know. Too much with a taco. And this can be insensitive, you know.
You didn't tell... No, hold on. Clara, you did not say anything to me. I said I stopped doing Taco Bell, and I even said I wouldn't even eat a Taco Bell anymore if it offended you.
I didn't need you to say that.
But then I said Del Taco.
It's the same thing.
No, it's a different... Why is that the same thing?
Wait a minute. You stopped saying Taco Bell, and then you started in with Del Taco.
It's a different restaurant.
It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any difference if you're to mock my culture, you know. And then you said the joke about drinking from a dirty faucet.
Yeah, it'll teach you you know what it's for. Okay, I get it. So, in other words, I can't...
Reverend Lindo, this is Clara Bingham. I am very sorry. I enjoyed my stay at your home very much, and I hope you do invite us back, but I will understand if you cannot. Given the behavior of Pastor Renick, a great many people love him. He is a very good man, I can tell you, but I also know that he is so full of ego.
I'm not full of ego.
Shut your mouth. He is so full of ego that he offends people sometimes. Yes, Miss Bingham. You are. Do not have to apologize. I love William Rennick. He's a good man.
You don't love me.
I do. I love you very much. But you taco this and taco that. Oh, man. Get another line.
You don't love me at all.
I'm very embarrassed.
Okay. Reverend Olindo, thank you. It's Phil Henry. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Very much my pleasure.
Thank you. Reverend Olindo is calling us from Mexico City this evening. And there you have it. It's not funny. And
I was my big finish. I guess I can't do the big finish.
You can do anything you want.
I had a big finish, Bill. You know, because Bill, don't forget it. I'll just play it.
What is that?
You hear that? Turn it up, will you? Benny, turn it up. Yeah. You hear that? That's where I'm going to lay on him, and then he hangs the phone up. Turn it off, man. Turn it off. Now it's depressing. Turn it off. It bothers me.
You were going to play a bunch of that ranchero music, huh?
I thought it was funny. Sue me. Sue her.
Well, it's a lesson in insensitivity that we all need to sometimes learn, you know.
Yeah, Bill, I think you're a great guy, but sometimes you are so square, and you sound like a real bore. And
you know what? All I'm saying is, just what he said. The Taco Bell gag was probably funny once, but he said all afternoon you're laying Taco Bell on him. And then
the funniest one was when I said his wife sat down. Can I say something to you? Because I was being very, very kind to him. His wife laid a meal in front of us. I wouldn't feed it to a dog.
And it's terrible that you say that, William.
I know it's true. You know it's true.
You know what? If that's the case, then you be polite and you say thank you so much and you do what you can in eating it.
I wouldn't feed it to a mangy dog, what she laid in front of me. And so when I said what I said. But
you said, hey, just send out for Taco Bell?
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
I want to jump. Phil, I had the meal that they... It was delicious. It was a Yucatan seafood.
What did we call it?
It was Yucatan seafood.
What is that? Yucatan seafood.
It is a part of Mexico, you fool. That's where they eat seafood. You know?
Yeah, it's the Yucatan Peninsula. They make delicious shrimp.
Oh, they do, huh? Well, you know what? You should have come down and eaten my meal. I ain't going to meet that mess.
They got some kind of fish. I didn't like it at all.
Because you don't like fish. That's your problem.
Boy, Yucatan seafood, are you nuts? Man.
Oh, I'm nuts. I'm nuts. I would rather, any day of the week, I'd rather sit down in a Taco Bell and smell like a diaper.
No, wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute. Now, I've heard just about as much as I'm going to hear. But Clara, you hold your tongue. That is your husband speaking now. Oh, I'm going to have to quote Corinthians to you. Now, Phil, I'm going to tell you something. I was very polite to that man, and I went into his home, and I ate the meal that his wife put in front of me. All I said was, I made that joke. But I'm telling you right now, I'd rather eat at a Taco Bell that smelled like the inside of a newborn baby's diaper than have to go back to that man's house and eat that woman's cooking.
That's very kind of you to say. You know, he could be listening right now.
He's in Mexico City, you idiot.
Have you ever heard of the internet?
Uh-oh. That's what I tried to tell him, Phil. He wouldn't believe me at all.
Well, I know the internet. I didn't think of it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, man. I tried to tell you, William. You know best, though, don't you?
Oh, I'm in trouble now. I got to meet with this guy next week trying to get a foot on.
You know best, don't you, you big mouth?
Look, Clara, you need to call him up and make it right.
I'm not calling nobody up for you, fool. You're going to have to do the same thing yourself.
You better just, you know, dig yourself out of your own problems here. Okay?
Look at Phil. You know, I love you. Don't get between a man and his wife. I'm talking to my wife right now. Okay?
You're on my show.
You're on a Phil Henry show.
That's the first mistake I made. Second mistake is it?
Yeah, the second mistake was you with that whole, I would rather eat at a Taco Bell that smelled like the inside of a newborn baby's diaper.
Who said that?
You did.
I never said that.
You did. I stood here. I heard you say that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Man, I'm in deep, excuse the phrase, I'm in deep doo-doo.
You sure are.
You're in deep baby doo-doo, man. All right, well, good luck.
What's that mean, good luck? You throw me off the show?
I'm throwing, yeah, get out of here, man. Get out of here, good luck.
Why, you lousy Judas. You know when Jesus...
what's going to happen?
He's going to have to make it right with the guy. You know, you can't just rip into a cat like that. You know, he's talking about the guy's wife's cooking is lousy. He wouldn't put it in front of a... He'd rather eat at a Taco Bell that smells like the inside of a diaper. Well, I don't know what that's about. But
you know, well, you said that one time. You and a Taco Bell smell like a diaper.
Yeah, didn't you say something about a loaded diaper?
A loaded diaper, what?
You said going to Taco Bell. You went to Taco Bell one time? Smelled just like a loaded up diaper.
Oh, I did not say that.
Yeah, you did, man. I swear to God, you did.
You're losing your memory just like Pastor Numbnut or whatever his name is.
His name's Rennick. Get the name right. I don't remember. If I did, I did. But, you know... That guy, you know, he always puts his foot in his mouth, and if some of these people, man, they try to make you comfortable. They try to be your friend. They try to, you know, the ultimate win in Rome. And here comes Pastor Rennick. He lands on the plane. He's in Mexico City. He's with his Mexican guests, and right off the bat with a Taco Bell gags, I don't understand how he thinks that's going to endear him to anybody. That's the way some people are, you know?
But yeah, but isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No, that's not what you're supposed to do, bud. You don't just go ham-fisted into a situation and go, hey, look at this, all my Mexican friends, where's the Taco Bell? Ha, 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 ha. You got to learn a little social skill, man. What do I talk about here? I talk about you got to, when in Rome, you know, you got to really speak like the Romans. You can't just pretend like you know. So now what happened? The guy's on my show. He's running his yap about the guy's wife's cooking. And now he's got to meet this guy next month for a meeting, and he's just ripped into this guy.
Yeah, but you guys in Mexico City and stuff.
Yeah, he said he's down in Mexico Town.
Mexico Town? What's that?
The capital of Mexico.
Mexico City, not Mexico Town.
Oh.
But the internet, brother. The internet, World Wide Web. You can listen to our show all over the bloody world. In fact, we're going to give away a prize one of these nights. You remember how we used to give away a prize to the person that was calling us from the furthest away point? You remember that?
Yeah, the one time a guy in India.
We used to get a caller from India when we gave away a prize. We'd give away a prize to the person who was, you know, checking in from the furthest off point. And we may do that again, just to give Pastor Rennick an education as to how far afield people can be when they're listening to a radio show. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have our News and Information Hour coming up. We've got the beautiful weekend officially starting in about, whatever it is, 15 minutes. Stick with us here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have another hour to go. We have our News and Information Hour coming up with Bud and Robert, although the way you guys have been going at it tonight, I may not let you, you know.
I didn't do nothing.
Well, you're but the big mouth, the bye-bye-bye. Well, the thing that I've always said about you, Bud, is you just can't say something. You have to, like, you have to drool it, you know. You have to yell it or drool it.
Yeah, man, you're always drooling it.
Yeah, you're always giving it Ebonics.
Hey, man. All right. Whoa. Why are you going to keep race baiting, Bud? I'm going to let him beat your ass one of these nights.
Yeah, I bet you'd like to do that. Something different to it, though, instead of beat it.
Why, you lousy... Hold on. Come on. I'm not going to hold him back much longer. One of these nights, I'm going to let Robert go. He's going to kick your ass.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did, man. Everything you're saying, racially charged.
Right. You sound like you're on Meet the Press or something.
Quit being a smartass. Quit being a smartass. All right. God, I just looked up at the TV for a minute. I thought I saw myself on the History Channel.
Boy, that's an ego.
That's true.
What an ego.
I saw a guy in a top hat, and I thought it was me. All right.
Yes, Mr. Lincoln.
So anyway, make a long story short, let's get rid of Pastor Rennick and the rest of those guys. The whole trip here with this guy Steve Williams is he made a crude comment, and it got back to Tiger Woods, and Tiger Woods said, that's really sad. I don't know what this guy Williams... Now, was it racist? What? Who cares? You know?
What do you mean?
Who cares if it was racist? Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe he's just an ass. So what if it was racist? I mean, the bottom line is this. This got nothing to do with race. Let me just tell you what the bottom line of this whole thing is. And this is why this guy's a freaking moron, if you want to get right down to it. It isn't that he's a racist. It isn't that he said black this or black that. This guy is disrespecting the most powerful man in professional golf. This guy, Tiger Woods, is the money on the PGA Tour. I don't care if he's not playing well. I don't care if he is playing well. It doesn't make any difference. You can't, if you want to keep your job, if you want to have a significant position, and you can't come out later as this guy, he sounds like the kind of moron that's going to do this. He's going to come out sometime in the future and say, I can't get nobody will hire me, and it's all because of Tiger Woods. All I said was, don't you understand how this game is played, you moron? You know, the guy is a caddy on the PGA Tour. That is a good job. You make a nice piece of change. You get 10%, I guess. I don't know what it is. I keep thinking of jockeys and trainers and horse racing. You get 10% of what the golfer wins. So if this guy's taking home $500,000, you just made yourself $50,000.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
That's not for carrying a bag around.
No, that's not just for carrying a bag around. Caddies do a lot more than carry bags around. A caddy, if he's a good caddy, and you can only be a good caddy if you're hired by one of these guys on the tour, he knows the course, he knows distances. You don't need a distance card. You don't have to figure out your club selection. You know, your caddy, if he's good, knows exactly the club you need. He knows exactly or within several yards of how far you are from the pin. He's checking the wind for you. He knows where the rough is. He knows how much room you have. He knows where the sand traps are. These are the kinds of guys that a good golfer, any golfer, would want to have with him. This is why caddies are very valuable. And this is why they make the kind of money that they make.
It's like having a coach or something.
In a way, it's like having a coach. Not really a coach so much as it's a good guide, someone who is as familiar with that course as you would be, more familiar with the course as you would be as the golfer, or at least as familiar, and certainly knows things you may not know, can think of things that you may not be thinking of. You don't have to stand over your bag figuring out which kind of club. He's going to be there to tell you, use this club. I know you're strong with that club. This is what a caddy does. Now, Williams obviously was very good for Tiger Woods for many years. They had a falling out. I don't know why. I could care less. They had a falling out. It happens. Now the guy went on. He was working for this other guy. What's this guy's name, Robert?
Guy named Adam Scott.
Yeah, they won the Bridgestone.
Adam Scott, they won the Bridgestone. And he said that Williams said it was the most satisfying win of his life. And he said that on purpose to offend or insult Tiger Woods. That's what he said to the media. He said, I wanted to stick it up that black blankety blank. And I don't even care about that. I don't care what the guy said or what he didn't say. What I care about is the point of this entire story. And it will always be the point. The point is that if you want to work and you want to work steady and you want to continue making your living on the PGA Tour as a caddy, then you don't say stuff like that, because this guy, Tiger Woods, is the money. Whether you like him or not, it doesn't make any difference. Whether you like the fact that the guy was with 18 million different porn stars or not, doesn't matter.
Well, that's pretty sad commentary. Guy gonna be with a porn star.
Yeah, sure, bud. Like, you care, huh?
Well,
what?
Well, I mean, it's still not good.
It doesn't make any difference to you. Doesn't make any difference to me. And guess what? It doesn't make any difference to golf fans. All of that nonsense about Tiger Woods being with these chicks, that was all stuff started from the outside of the golfing world, from people who are not even golf fans. I'm telling you that right now. I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm telling you that's exactly what it was. And then the golf fans started feeling sheepish and started feeling embarrassed. And, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Tiger Woods, they don't care. Tiger Woods will have to meet his maker someday, meaning his wife.
Yeah.
And, Tiger Woods will have to come to terms with what he did in his life someday. He's going to have to talk to his kids. He's going to have to deal with it. Someday he will not be in the spotlight. Someday he'll be sitting in a rocking chair. He'll be looking at his trophies and he'll be thinking back on his life, and it ain't all going to be all that great. He's going to have to deal with that stuff. In the meantime, I watch the guy play golf. This guy Williams, if I were Tiger Woods and somebody asked me, well, I'd say the guy's a piece of crap. Did you hear what he said about me? I'd be very honest about it.
Yeah, but then people think you're trying to stick it to him.
No, what do you mean? Of course.
Yeah, but you're Tiger Woods. You're going to hurt the guy.
This guy called him a name. Guy said that he was this and that. Said he was a black this and that. You going to recommend a guy like that? Hey, Tiger, seriously, what do you think of this guy, Williams? I know he said, I think he's a sack of crap. That's what I think of him. Well, is he a good caddy? No. No. That's what that guy deserves. That's what he's going to get. Nice going, Williams, you dumbass.
Yeah, you dumbass.
You didn't even... All right. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour coming up here Saturday, just ahead on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. And that means, it's right here on the West Coast now, a little bit after midnight. It's a little bit after 3 a.m. on the East Coast. We'll be on with you till 4 a.m. And this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And I know that sounds like a bold boast, but...
It's true, man.
It's true. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, it's true, Mr. Hendry. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. No.
Thank you. All right. Not that that was at the least bit insincere. NBA sides to resume talks, sources say. Now, get a load of this. I know it's going to... Are we talking too much sports here?
I don't care about basketball.
Then call basketball, man. Basketball.
Black people call it basketball.
Hey, man.
Dude, I'm going to kick your ass, man. I'm not going to wait for a permission.
Light is green.
Oh, the light is green. I'll do it. Don't worry about it. The NBA ownership group's labor committee will reopen talks with the players' side Saturday afternoon, sources told ESPN. That's ESPN. I'll never forget, just as an aside, a little bit of a joke. My son, who was 10 at the time, and we took the kids on this Disney cruise. I tell you, it was a phenomenal thing. It was a very amazing thing. Even I, an adult, I have to say I enjoyed it. And we took them on the Disney cruise. The boat leaves from Florida. It goes down to You name it.
Yeah, you got to be rich, though.
No, you don't have to be rich, okay? There were plenty of families, all kinds of families. In fact, I suppose this doesn't really reflect the man's income, though, but I will say that we had a very nice cabin, and I was standing there on the little veranda looking at the ocean, and I was, you know, taking a good cruise is like having a hotel room that moves around, a really good hotel room that moves around the world. So you wake up in the morning, and you're no longer at that place, you're at a different place, you know. But this was this Disney cruise, and they went into the Caribbean, and then they went up to Cozumel. We went to Cozumel, we went to Key West, we went to, what was the place, God, oh man.
You said it went Grand Cayman.
Yeah, Grand Cayman, and then up to the Bahamas, and Disney owns this island. I mean, you know, I got to hand it to good old Walt, man, he, and the people that have come after him.
Well, Mickey Mouse probably runs it now. Well, I don't mean Mickey, really, but...
Man, you know Mickey Mouse don't exist, right?
Yeah, I know that.
Well, if Mickey Mouse doesn't exist, who do you think runs the company now?
But I mean... Well...
Yeah, you idiot. Mickey Mouse runs the company. I'll tell you what, if Mickey Mouse ran Disney, I bet you the employees would wish that Walt was back.
Why?
With Mickey Mouse running the company, there'd probably be rat droppings everywhere.
Yeah, it'd be dirty.
All right, so anyway...
Funny.
Oh, get out of here, will you? So here's the thing. And so we took this cruise, and I was standing out on that little balcony, and I'm looking at this wide expanse of gorgeous Atlantic Ocean that's the color of a turquoise stone. And I'm marveling at this. It's a beautiful, warm day, and it just life just couldn't be better, you know? And next to me... Suddenly, I see a burly, tattooed arm holding a Camel Straight cigarette lit, and I glance over and I notice that the arm is attached to a shoulder that has a wife beater on. It's not a wife beater, it's a terrible thing to call it, but that's what it was. A wife beater that had something on the front of it that said, like, Orlando Magic. And then the wife beater was attached to a neck that had a head on it with a dude and a baseball cap and kind of a ponytail. And he looks at me and he says, that's a whole lot of water, isn't it? So,
Boy, man, that goes to show you, man. You know, you may have money, man. It doesn't mean you ain't up a crust.
Well, I didn't. It's not that the guy didn't have money, but what I'm saying is you meet all kinds of people. So, anyway, make a long story short, my son, he's 10 years old at the time. He now works for me. He's a great guy, Alex. He says, I'm going to go out and go swimming, and I'm going to meet up with my brothers, and we're going to go play some video games. It's great, you know. So he comes back, and I said, where were you, man? He said, I was at the Espen Bar. Now, I didn't understand what he said.
Talking about ESPN?
Well, at the time, I didn't know what he meant. What is that? Is that a kid? What do you mean, Espen Bar? What is that? Is that a kid's bar? And Maria's like, I think it might be something for the kids, yeah. I said, what does that mean, Espen? I don't know what that means. He was at the ESPN bar having a Coke sitting there with all these big guys watching a hockey game or something. You know, he's like the only kid in the place sitting at the bar. They gave him a whatever, a Coke or a root beer. And he's there with all of these big dudes smoking cigarettes, drinking booze, because this is the Caribbean. And there are none of those fancy American laws against smoking. This part of this bar, you could smoke because this was like the adult section. But they don't keep kids out, you know, because it's the freaking Disney cruise, man. There's nowhere a kid can't go, I guess. Anyway, he said it was at the Espen Bar. And it was the ESPN bar. And there's Alex, all 10 years old of him. He's only about, you know, 4 feet high. And all these other big dudes just, yeah, let's go here! Watching the Stanley Cup playoffs or something, slugging back shots and beers. And he's having himself a root beer.
Would you tell him what it meant?
Yeah, I told him it was ESPN, dude. And he knows what ESPN is now, but at the time he did not watch ESPN. They were very small, so their thing in life was basically video games and whatever was on at 7 o'clock at night on TV before they had to eat dinner and then go to bed. All right. So I said all of that to say NBA Ownership Group's Labor Committee will reopen talks with the players' side on Saturday afternoon, sources told ESPN, the magazine's Chris Broussard. A meeting one general manager who has spoken with a few owners described as headed straight for disaster.
I don't see how he can say that, just one guy.
Let's read on here. Headed straight for disaster. Let's see here. The talks will follow a meeting between the NBA's 30 owners Saturday morning in which they will discuss revenue sharing and the state of negotiation, sources told Broussard. But optimism is not running high. The players' growing interest in decertification almost ensures that the union will not retreat from its demand for a 52% revenue split. And league sources have told Broussard a significant number of owners are growing resistant to offering the players a 50-50 split. Now, the players want to decertify their own union. So the union, therefore, is going to maintain its strong stand for as long as it can, I guess.
What do you want to do that for?
Probably think the union not doing any good.
Unions, they gotta work for people, and people have to understand that they're working for them. They've got to do two things. They have to actually be working for the benefit. And I'm not saying that unions don't, but a lot of times you think you're working for the benefit of your membership, and you're not. And that's just all about leadership. You just don't have good leadership in a union. You are on the road to ruin, man, and they may be thinking they're doing the very best they can for you. But if you don't have a smart guy at the top who knows how to sort of read events and read the currents of the daily, the thang, then that cat is, he's out to lunch, man. Sources told ESPN.com's Henry Abbott that in a Thursday evening conference call among owners, Michael Jordan of the Charlotte Bobcats was among a vocal group of owners upset at NBA Commissioner David Stern for not driving a harder bargain to this point. Michael Jordan, a former player who is now wanting the commissioner to drive a harder bargain. What does that tell you?
What?
What does that tell you about? What does that tell you about America? What does that tell you about what America is about? Look at Michael Jordan.
Dad, Michael Jordan's a backstabber.
No, that doesn't mean he's a backstabber. No, here's what it means: the American worker will never, ever, ever be interested in any kind of a socialized answer to the problems of our economy if it means that he has to essentially maintain relative equality. That's why Occupy Wall Street is fine as far as it goes if they're talking about exactly what is on the minds of and what is in the future of individuals that run businesses in our country. Do they want to create jobs? Do they want to create product? Do they want to really make this thing a vital economy, a driving economy again? Or are these guys just trying to find new and different ways to manipulate a dollar bill? It's got nothing to do or shouldn't have anything to do with making workers equal or fairer. You guys, they're blowing it. Look at Michael Jordan. Here's a guy that started with nothing in life, becomes a great basketball player, earns a hell of a lot of money. Now he's an owner. He went through all the stages, one can say, of labor and all of the stages of upward mobility that a man can go through in this country. And now he is an owner. He's a business executive, and he wants the commissioner to drive a hard bargain. You can call him a backstabber. I say that that's the natural progression of the American worker. The American worker.
Yeah, but I mean, what about a union? What if a guy didn't want to be an owner? He doesn't want to stay a worker.
There's not a lot of people in this world, whether they want to stay workers or not, that don't want a raise. There's not a lot of people in this world that don't want a better life. There's not people in this world, whether they stay workers or not, are not interested in, gee, I'm equal now, and I think I'd like to stay that way. We all want more. We want to have a nice house. We want to have a nice vacation. We want to have maybe a bigger car. Maybe we can even afford a boat. Maybe we can take the family on a vacation in our boat. Maybe we dream and we dream and we dream. And we want a bigger and better life for ourselves and our kids. This is not what equality. This is not equality. And it shouldn't be. That's the American way.
Yeah, that American way, though, a lot of people just think it's phony baloney.
Oh, bull crap. You know the people who think it's phony baloney? Losers. And people that have come up against the reality of life and making it better. All I see are losers. People that talk about how the American economy and the American way and the American life is cruel and it's the 99%, all this horse dung. These are a pack of losers that don't know how to kick a little hell in this world. And, you know, like I was telling you the other day, I saw that thing on that little animated piece that was on YouTube. It was perfect. Guy said, the 99%. You want the 99%? Go to Africa. Take a look at the people of Asia. Take a look at some of the people in India. Take a look. You want the 99%? What the hell are you talking about, you imbecile? Go out and, you know, all those nickels you saved up and get yourself a decent-sized gumball. You'll be happy.
That's all anybody wants, a better gumball. That's easy enough to do.
That's a joke, you idiot. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? You think people want a gumball? He said go out and get a better one.
Wow, bud.
No, that's what you said.
Okay, fine, I said it. To tell you what, all you guys out there responsible for making the gumballs, make them bigger and better and more badass, and Bud will be happy.
I don't care. I'll eat gumball.
Sources told ESPN's Henry Abbott that Michael Jordan wants to kick somebody's ass, preferably David Stern. The New York Times reported that Jordan's group wants the player's share to be no higher than 47%. Wow! Players wanted a 52% split. The owners were offering 50%, and now they're going to back off of it. Should Stern and the Labor Committee agree to a deal with the union, it would become difficult with ratification by simple majorities of owners and players. Both are in doubt. Sources with knowledge of owners' thinking say that if the NBA agrees to a 50-50 split, arm twisting would be required to get the minimum 16 votes. The league has long sought far more than 16 votes as protection against lingering dissension. All right, we'll be back. There's more to talk about with this story, and there's a really disgusting story about these women, these mothers that don't want to vaccinate their kids. They think giving the kid the disease and strengthening their immune system is really the way to go, and now some of them are stupidly breaking the law and will, if they get their way, can infect your child with a childhood disease, whether you like it or not. I'll tell you about this. I don't want to freak you out or anything.
What are you talking about, leprosy?
No, not leprosy. You'll be happy to know. Chicken pox. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Don't talk about it.
I talked about it once.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman joining us on the line. Just a couple of... Harvey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very good. Turner Radio. I was listening to the your comment about Warren Bateman. When you were on the... You find a score. We're listening to the radio, and I want to get the score.
Of what?
It's a duck play.
What?
The Ducks.
Anaheim Ducks?
Yeah, I want to get the score in the hockey. How'd the Kings do?
You want the Kings or the Ducks?
I was listening to what you said about Warren Bateman, though.
We were talking about Warren Beatty during the break on Phil TV. Is that what you were watching?
Yeah, I was watching on the laptop. I got that. By the way, I've got my iPad, and you can get your on-demand video on Photon. Did you tell the people that?
Photon browser?
Yes. Tell the people you can get the Phil Henry, Phil TV, and HD on their iPad or on their iPhone if they've got the Photon browser. All right, but I wanted to find out about the duck. I'm sorry, Bill. I've had a couple of drinks.
You're saying you want to find out about a duck, and I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm talking about the hockey team.
The Anaheim Ducks.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, what did they do tonight?
I'll look it up for you.
Okay, but Warren Beatty...
Warren Beatty.
Beatty, isn't it? He did the movie Reds.
Warren Beatty, yeah.
All right, Warren Beatty did the movie Reds, and you're right. It was a wonderful film, and it was about the Communist Party here in the United States being formed by John Reed. Now, I represented a couple of the actors in that film. I don't want to say who, but she was a really nice girl and a very great actress. And
you don't want to tell me who?
No, I don't want to break any confidence, but she was the star, and... I won't say it. And she played Louise Bryant, and she was really... Charlie.
Okay, so you represented Diane Keaton.
I said I didn't want to say anything. I'm not one of these people that drops names. Why did you do that?
Oh, give me a break, Harvey. She was played Louise Bryan, and she was, I don't want to say any names, but she was the star.
Well, I had to tell you that what I was saying was true, so you wouldn't think I was bullcrapping you. And
I wouldn't have thought you were bullcrapping me. It sounds phony baloney when you tell me you don't want to say anything because you don't want to drop any names, and then, well, she was the star of the movie. You know.
I didn't say it like that. God, you sound like you've got some kind of a... You sound like you're missing a piece of your brain when you say that. Now I got my throat. I got to clear my throat. Anyway, the movie Reds, which was about the Communist Party in America and John Reed, was a very wonderful film. Now, at the beginning of that film and at the beginning of different scenes, they interview different people from that era, right? And
yeah, they have Henry Miller.
Yeah, they had Henry Miller, they had George Jessel, a lot of different, I think they had Hamilton Fish, who was the representative. He baited he tried to get rid of the communists, and he was a real piece of crap, that guy. I couldn't take him, man. But
what did Hamilton Fish do?
Hamilton Fish was a conservative congressman that wanted to get rid of all the Bolsheviks in the U.S. government. He was like the Joe McCarthy of the 20s. And he was...
Well, wouldn't you call that a very a guy who's very forward-thinking?
Forward-thinking? What do you mean forward-thinking? This guy, he wanted to put a scare into the U.S. government the way McCarthy did.
But what we know about Bolshevism and communism now, you know...
Oh, come on, Phil. Look, you know, you can get paranoid about a lot of things, all right? But the fact is, you can't get so paranoid that you're running roughshod over everybody. And this guy, Fish, I couldn't take him. Then I found out that he was related...
I mean, what's wrong with...
Will you let me finish, please?
All right.
God, I found out the guy was distantly related to Albert Fish. Now, do you know who he is?
Albert Fish.
Yes, Albert Fish.
That's the serial murderer.
There we go. Give the man a cigar. A serial murderer like you've never seen. This guy, Albert Fish, killed kids, little tiny kids. And in one instance, and I don't want to go into it because it's too gruesome, far too gruesome for your radio show, I would suggest people just look it up because I will not go into it, but he dismembered and ate a kid. And
I thought you said you weren't going to go into it.
I didn't. I just gave you the basic outline.
Give me the basic outline. I don't need to listen to that.
Hey, it's late at night. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to go into it, and you're going to have to look it up.
Oh, quit being a baby, will you? I'm trying to give you some background on this guy, Hamilton Fish. The guy that was giving John Reed all the trouble about the Communist Party. He was related to a guy that ate kids. Doesn't that make any difference?
Thank you very much for your call. God.
Yeah, it did sound like a pretty good story, though.
You know what, man? I don't mind hearing the story about a serial killer. But this guy, Harvey, is starting out with this whole thing about Reds and Hamilton Fish and the communists and the Bolsheviks, and I'm thinking we're getting somewhere. And then all of a sudden he brings in Albert Fish, and he wants to somehow discredit Hamilton Fish because he's distantly related to some guy that's a serial killer.
No, he's distantly related to a guy that ate kids.
Why do you got to keep bringing that up, man?
What's the matter? You squeamish?
I'm not squeamish. It is extremely sensitive. It's a very sensitive topic. You just don't throw that around on the radio, okay? When we come back, we'll talk about Hamilton or Albert Fish, who ate kids. And I'm kidding. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL on Phil TV and HD. If you're looking at the screen, you're looking at the Sullenberger's plane that was there was it the East River or the Hudson River that he landed his plane in, and the people standing on the wing waiting to be rescued. And it's on the front page of our website, which is philhendryshow.com. And underneath it, you'll see Almost, because our classic Phil clip that's being featured this week is Plane Go Boom. So that plane didn't go boom, thanks to the great captaining skills and navigational skills there of Captain Sullenberger and his co-pilot, but almost. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and subscribe to our Classic Phil podcast. It's absolutely free. And you can also listen to our show at our website, a streaming version of our show. You can't download it. If you don't have a backstage pass, you can still listen to our show daily by going to our website and listening to the stream of the show right there for you, free, every day. Just go to philhendryshow.com. Now, we were into a whole bunch of bull crap talking about that, talking about that NBA strike. We got off onto, what were we getting off to, Hamilton Fish or something like that?
Yeah, but you were talking about Albert Fish and how the guy ate a kid.
Right. I don't want to get into that. If you want to look up Albert Fish, look him up,
Right on Wikipedia.
Yeah, look to Wikipedia.
Wikipedia?
Yeah.
I told you not to look up Wikipedia. If you look up Wikipedia as your only source for something, I'm going to kick your ass again.
Well, no, I get another one.
Always get another source. Don't ever use Wikipedia or whatever the hell you call it, bud, as your only source.
How come?
Because Wikipedia is a community edited and a community created online encyclopedia, and they don't always have the information there footnoted properly or otherwise, scholastically reviewed and given the proper certification and so forth. So, you need more than one source. You need more than one source for any piece of information that you get. That is from your friend and neighbor here, Uncle Phil. So you don't mess up.
Yeah, but even still, everybody go to Wikipedia.
Everybody may go to Wikipedia. Everybody may be jumping off a cliff tomorrow, bud. You got to do the same thing everybody does? So just get another source.
Okay.
Great. You've probably heard of chickenpox parties where parents get unvaccinated kids together in the home of an infected child in the hopes they'll catch the disease. No, I haven't heard of that. Have you?
Uh-oh.
They think making their kids suffer through the disease will help them develop stronger immunity than immunization would provide. But now the buzz is all about people. If that is true, what is wrong with people? There isn't one shred of scientific proof that these vaccinations damage children whatsoever. Not one shred of proof. I'm not talking about evidence that some people think is evidence and what in real terms is just simply someone taking a piece of information and making it bigger than it is. Someone taking, in other words, a footnote and turning it into the whole book. I swear to God, these people that don't vaccinate their kids, they deserve to have their kids come down with the worst diseases and watch those children suffer. And if they have any conscience at all, they'll finally say, what the hell are we doing?
Well, that's the problem, man. They probably don't.
You got that right. Anyway, you probably heard of chickenpox parties where parents get unvaccinated kids together in the home of an infected child in the hopes they'll... A chickenpox party. Jeez. Now the buzz is all about people shipping objects that have been contaminated with the chickenpox virus to people who live too far away to attend a chickenpox party. A Nashville TV station on Thursday reported on a local woman in Nashville, Tennessee, who charged $50 a pop to ship suckers smothered in saliva by her sick kids. $50. What a deal. You can infect your kid with chickenpox for only $50. And after all, that's the new thing. Get your kid to get chickenpox. Don't vaccinate the child, whatever you do, because the flimsy, almost non-existent evidence that these vaccines are bad for children is enough for you. Isn't that right there, genius? Spurred by that story, Nashville federal prosecutor Jerry Martin on Friday warned parents not to try it. It's illegal and unsafe, Martin told the Associated Press. Very good, sir. Now, that's a prosecutor that's on top of things.
You're going to have people arrested for shipping a chicken pox sucker.
Yeah, that's contraband, the pox suck.
The pox suck.
Better not ship it.
I want to get a $50 pock suck myself.
Me too.
Yeah, sure. Let me tell you guys something, okay? You both you guys grew up in the day and age of immunizing children against these diseases. I had measles as a kid. Any parent, and I had the red measles. I had the measles that had me on my back as a 10-year-old kid for 2 weeks and a fever of 103. Any parent that would put a child through that ought to be horsewhipped. Ought to have their asses kicked. I'm telling you, we are fast approaching a day and age, man. Maybe it'll happen within, I don't know, maybe 100 years, 150 years. You won't be able to have children unless you are unless you qualify. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen.
What do you mean qualify?
I mean they will not allow you to have a kid unless you are a qualified parent. They will find a way to qualify people. Otherwise, we cannot afford any longer parents that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground sending kids out into the world that are dysfunctional, and I'm being kind, kids that are neurotic, kids that are so psychotic, kids that are so jacked up and messed up in the brain, man, they don't know whether they're coming or going. There's going to come a day when they're going to tell people you can't do it.
Man, you're dreaming. They're never going to have a day like that. That's probably something you're just dreaming about.
Yeah, how are we going to do it? I mean, first of all, they'd have to have some brainwashing laboratory or something. That'd be pretty cool, but how would they do it?
They're not going to brainwash anybody. What are they going to brainwash people?
You got to figure out that a parent's bad and say you can't have no kid. Or if you do have a kid, we got to take the kid to brainwash it.
Yeah. I think the brainwashing of the kid, they take the kid away like to a camp or something. And then it had a kid like, you know.
Like the Hitler Youth or something. Had a kid do push-ups and had a kid do brainwash songs and stuff.
Are you nuts or something?
You don't know how it works. I do. I've seen it on TV.
Oh, yeah. Have the kid do brainwash songs and push-ups. Are you crazy? I ain't even talking about that, man. I'm talking about parents. I ain't talking about the kids.
You're talking about the parent not being able to have a kid. They take the kid away to a brainwash camp.
Yeah.
No, you jackasses. I'm talking about not even letting the woman conceive.
How are you going to do that?
Look at, man, I'm not talking about something tomorrow. I'm not talking about this in the next 50 years. I'm saying way down the road, society at some point is going to be fed up with it. I'm not kidding. Take a look, you know, I would put my money on that. There's not a whole lot, as we've often said on the show, there's not a lot that human beings do well when it comes to predicting the future. I mean, we do not predict our own future very well. We have more predictions that are so up the rear end, we don't know what we're talking about. But every now and again, you think of anything, that makes sense. And I'm telling you right now, controlling fertility, which is what women have been trying to do for thousands of years, society will take that over.
Man, that sounds like something right out of Brave New World. I mean, you don't even know what you're talking about. That's going to sound like, what was the book?
Yeah, we were reading a book the other day about 1980 or whatever.
Yeah, 1980?
1984?
Yeah, 1984.
1980. 1984, so what?
That's what they did. They wouldn't let you have no baby or nothing like that.
You don't know. There's nothing in the book about that. You're talking about Brave New World. Fact is, that doesn't have to be a Brave New... Look, we have restrictions on all kinds of things in this world. You don't get a driver's license. What we're talking about here is conception being now a privilege as opposed to conceiving a child being a privilege as opposed to a right.
You're never going to get past... By the Republican or the Republican Party.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm not talking about a time, Bud, when there's a Republican Party. I'm talking way in the future.
Yeah, even in far the future. How are you going to get that past the Republican?
The Republicans? You know what you guys need to do?
I mean a Republican.
You guys need to read some more newspapers. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Anyway, we were on the story here about chickenpox parties.
I said Republican.
I don't care. A Nashville TV station on Thursday reported on a local woman who charged $50 a pop to ship suckers smothered in saliva by her sick kids. Sounds great. What a business. How much money are you making there, Grandma? Spurred by that story, the very responsible federal prosecutor in Nashville, a man by the name of Jerry Martin, said, "It's illegal, it's unsafe, don't try it." A Phoenix television station last week reported that a Facebook page called Find a Pox Party in Your Area was helping to arrange shipments of contaminated objects, jammies, blankets, suckers. But shortly after the Phoenix story ran, the Pox Party Facebook page posted a warning. The mailing of infectious items such as lollipops, rags, etc. is a federal offense. This page is not private and can be seen by members and non-members alike. You may post on the page that you have the pox. You have the pox. And are willing to share, but please keep your specifics in private messages between members, which, of course, they can't trace then. No, not much. We are all intelligent adults. No, not true. Facebook?
Man, that's funny.
We're all intelligent adults. My God, there isn't a larger collection, a more willing and larger collection of imbeciles than Facebook. If you ever wanted to get the dumbest, if you ever wanted to get the gene pool really weeded out, and we live in a totalitarian society that wanted to, how do we collect all the idiots? I know, Facebook. That's all you need. Facebook is like the lemmings to the sea. You just, man, they just run to Facebook. There it is. We're all intelligent adults, says the Facebook page, but these guidelines will help protect your privacy. If you'd like to go back and delete your posts about mailing, feel free to do so. In other words, we would rather not be caught engaging in the illegal act of mailing infectious items through the mail so that people who, maybe some people who don't even want their children to get chickenpox and are planning on those children being inoculated, maybe their kid will get it anyway. Who the hell are these? Who do you think you are, people, wherever you are, if you're listening? Mailing, and you're not doctors. You're not doctors, and I don't trust you as far as I could spit into a hurricane. And when it comes to advice on medical matters, I will take the advice, yes, of doctors. I will also take the advice of in some instances, chiropractors, in some instances, nutritionists and homeopaths. But I will not take the advice of mommy and her friends over at the Pox Party. Pox.
That's what they're calling it, too, man. Probably have smallpox.
Hey, with any luck, ladies, there you go. I was just, you know, I was talking to Maria about this. You know, we've almost wiped out polio on the face of the earth. We have almost wiped out polio. We have. Now, I'm going to tell you a story here, because this is exactly like these stupid women and stupid men that don't want to vaccinate their children. In the Middle East, in the very, very poor areas of, it's not the Middle East, really, it's the subcontinent, India and Pakistan, in really, really poor, poor areas, among the Muslim people, the clerics, because they know they're dealing with people that are not very bright, have claimed that if any people come in saying they want to inoculate your child against polio, what they're really trying to do is kill Muslims. They're trying to wipe us out. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, was what they would tell people in a country, in a part of the world where people today, if you go to Pakistan, you go to India, and Maria just got back, people are walking on their knees you would not even believe they're human beings. Their joints are reversed. They're walking around on their knees. They're walking on their ankles. You know, they're dragging themselves on the ground, dragging themselves along the ground. Polio, which is almost contained and wiped out in the world. But there are people that don't want you to be vaccinated for a number of reasons. In the case of these Muslims, the clerics are trying to control the people. Well, what happened was a more enlightened Muslim cleric class came in and said, wait a minute, we have to inoculate our people, we have to vaccinate our people against polio. This is ridiculous. And so the Rotary International, the Red Cross, a variety of groups have gotten into some of the most remote areas of India and Pakistan and are now vaccinating people against polio. That is what you're supposed to do. If you believe those clerics, well, they're the Muslim version of these American women with their pox parties. But with any luck, we get these women running their big fat mouths enough on Facebook and somewhere else, man, maybe we can bring back smallpox. You know, we got rid of that disease. Smallpox is officially done. But we can bring it back. We can bring back childhood measles. I went through it, I told you. Any parent that would put their child through any disease, when you have a way of immunizing that child from it without putting them through that disease, they ought to be taken out and beaten. But these jackasses on their Facebook pages with any luck, they'll be able to bring back smallpox. And, hey, they ought to get together with those guys over in Pakistan. They could get polio rocking and rolling again. How about that? Why not put your kid through polio, man? He'll be immunized against it.
No kidding, man.
Put him through polio. All he'd be doing is dragging himself on the pavement, but hey, won't get it again, will he? All right, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Sorry I had to hit the ball kind of hard with that one. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and close out this luscious week. Hey, it's the weekend. It's Saturday. Woo-hoo!
Truth.
Right back.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Learn more at talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. I can't get over that, man. I swear to God, you know. I can't get over that.
What?
If somebody sent my kid pox in the mail, I would find them and I'd crucify him. I swear to God, I'd put him on the highest hill. I'd put on a Roman centurion uniform with a cape, and I'd do the whole dance, man. I'd put a spear in their side, and I'd say, oh, sure, he must be the Christ. And
you're going to go to hell for that. That's blasphemy.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
But you make him walk up a road and everything and have a guy wipe his face off?
Make him walk up a road and have a guy wipe his face off?
Yeah, ain't that what happened to Jesus?
Oh, come on, guys. I'm telling you, though, I would be very, 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 very angry.
Oh, Mr. Henry, you don't understand. I sent your child the pox. Now,
you did, huh?
Yes. What's that?
What's this?
Yes, it looks like a spear gun.
Well, exactly right. It is a spear gun.
Well, that's used for fish. What's that have to do with the conversation?
And that would be the end of that. And then the husband would call my house, and he'd say, did you see my wife today? And I'd say, what'd she look like?
You probably just remember her at Satrial's Pork Sandwich Shop.
Yeah, and then you'd say, like, too much DNA.
I would dismember her at Satrial's Pork Shop. If somebody mailed my, if she goes, Mr. Henry, we did send a pox sucker to your kid.
Now, this is the only way, sir. This is the only way, Mr. Henry, that we can vaccinate your child properly. And
they're not vaccinating it, though.
No, that's what I mean. She's going to immunize my child, right? She's going to have my kid. You sent my child a pox sucker.
Yes, we did, sir. Now, I know you're against it, Mr. Henry. I've listened to your show. You don't scare me. I have done a very good thing. What's that? It looks like chloroform in a rag.
Why, it just happens to be chloroform. Isn't that... Yeah, look at how smart you are.
Mr. Henry, I don't think...
And then that night, I get the phone call from the husband.
Yeah, did you see my wife today?
Your wife.
You know, my wife, Clara.
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw her today.
She gave me her hand?
Yes, she did. She was over here talking about something. Said she wanted to get away from it all. You know?
Yeah, it's true. Like, you're going to believe that.
No, that's what I'd say. She said she came over, you know.
What, is she talking about the pox party? You know, we're very much into that.
Yeah, I know, she was. And I said, sure, yeah. We'd like to have our kid get a pox sucker, too. And that's when she said, you know what, Phil? I want to take a long vacation. And
what'd she say?
She said she was going to China or Japan or, you know, Russia. I don't know. You know,
Russia?
Yeah. And that's it. And then that's the last, I don't know, you know.
Well, I haven't seen her all day, man. I'm going to call the police.
Yeah, if I were you, I probably would, you know.
Yeah, the cops come over to your house, you'd be the last guy what was seen with her.
What do you mean I'd be the last guy that was seen with her? How do you know that?
Because there'd probably be a witness.
Who? Never mind. I would never do that. It's just a fantasy that I have. But, oh, what a glorious fantasy. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, Fred Scotty, and Dan Northcraft. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow, there will be a streaming version of today's show. If you do not have a backstage pass, you can always listen to the streaming version on our website, philhendryshow.com. But if you do have a backstage pass, by goodness, you will have the ability to download all of our great shows, as well as subscribe to our live show, as well as watch our Phil TV in HD, as well as be a part of all of the exciting things that we have coming up on the Phil Hendry website. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. And also listen on many of our great affiliates. We'll see you tonight on the KFI show locally here in L.A.
Phil Hendry.
You see, my wife.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information.